All right, we are ready with the second part of our program. Ready to rock and roll. Ian Margol will be joining us in just a couple of minutes. We will talk a little Panthers hockey with him. We'll get into it a little bit with the Panthers, who are 1-2-2. They are taking the Devils on this afternoon, actually. So they are playing. They will be playing while Ian and I are actually talking about the team, which has had another one of those slow starts, right? That's the only way we got to look. A typical Panther slow start is the way we got to look at it. So we'll get into it with him as they lost in the shootout to the Lightning. Oh, actually, they got pounded by the Lightning. Then they beat the Lightning. Then they lost to the Hurricanes 6-3. And now they've lost twice in shootouts to the Sabres and to the Islanders, picking up a point, all that good stuff, but that means nothing to me nowadays with this team. They are held to a much higher standard than what they've have in the past, and more is expected from them, and unfortunately, they're not producing it. Those are the facts. So we'll talk to Ian Margol with Channel 10. He's a big hockey guy. He covers the team. He follows them, knows it inside and out. So we'll get his thoughts on that. I want to get into the Canes also. And Kelvin Harris is going to be kind enough to join us on the program in a little while. So we'll get into the Canes also because their performance against Virginia, it wasn't one of those where we would have to say, wow, that was a legendary performance or anything like that. But it was a hell of a performance by the defense. And the defense has to get some love for that performance. Got to give it to them. They deserve it. So Kelvin Harris, who has his own podcast, by the way, he will join us in a little while. So we'll talk a little bit about that that Canes win over Virginia. So we've got Panthers. We've got Canes that we want to talk about. The Heat are back in action tonight. They're 2-0. Again, I can't go crazy about the preseason or anything like that. The Hawks are 0-2. We'll see what happens with the Heat. Again, it's more about Bam and more about Winslow than anything else. And I will say this, in the first two games, what I think is going to happen is that Bam and Winslow are going to turn into exceptional glue players. Guys that are not all-stars, will never be all-stars, but they're really good complementary players. That's the way I kind of look at those kind of guys. I don't think that they're going to turn into all-stars or even close to it. I just don't see that right now with those guys. That's why I think this is the kind of team you're going to end up having, is one that is barely getting into the playoffs, will be in the back end of the playoff chase. No shot at any kind of title or anything like that. But they're going to need – Riley's going to need to make that move for that other star. And I don't think it's in the cards this year. But, hey, crazier things have happened. Riley has pulled off the amazing at times. I don't think he will pull it off at this moment. But you never know. You know what I mean? You never know. What can I tell you? It is what it is. But Heat are just one of those teams that I just can't. I'm going to enjoy watching them this year a little more than I did last year, but I just don't have any expectations for them. It'll be fun to watch Jimmy. Tyler is maybe our next hope. Man, how much pressure can we put on a rookie? That's so unfair. Really is. Absolutely unfair. But what are you going to do, right? I mean, it just – that this is the position they're in. So it just – it's hard for me to get really excited about the Miami Heat. They have set the standard so high that this is nothing. You know what I mean? It's just, it means very little to me right now as a Heat fan. I'm not impressed. You've done so many other things that make me impressed. This is not one of them. Not this team. Spo and this team are going to have to do some amazing stuff to prove me wrong and to make me be shocked. I'll be watching all the games. I'll be rooting for them. I'm just not expecting a lot from that team. Remember, you can always reach out to us on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. And you can also catch us at Dandy Donuts. We love Dandy Donuts. We love talking about Frank and Bobby and all the great people out there, Laura, at Dandy Donuts. They do such a great job, just a wonderful job out there. And we'll be broadcasting live in a couple weeks when we're out there. And remember, when we're out there, you can come by and get a free donut. And I do appreciate all the listeners that came by the last time. Most of you did not ask for a free donut. Bobby goes to me, hey, did you tell them about the free donut? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, they got a drink and they got something else, but they didn't really ask for the free donut. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. And some people actually ended up buying a dozen and stuff like that. So we thank all the folks that came by to say hi over at 102 North 28th Avenue. And you should treat yourself to a delicious donut, an incredible lunch, oh, a delectable breakfast. Their breakfast is just absolutely amazing. Dandy Donuts, they're open daily at 5 a.m. They close at 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Sundays, they close at 3 p.m. Follow them on Instagram, Dandy_Hollywood. You will get hungry. I do want to warn you that if you follow them on Instagram, when they put up their delectable pictures, you will get hungry. Go to the website, dandyhollywood.com, and when you see Bobby or Frank or Laura out there, tell them that Big O sent you. They'll take care of you, of course, at the finest place on the planet. It is heaven in Hollywood, and that is Dandy Donuts. And we will see you out there. I think it's the 20-something. I gotta look it up on our calendar. But it's a Monday, I do know that, when we're out there having some fun. And it is the 28th. This Monday, the 28th of October, we'll be out at Dandy Donuts, which is a beautiful thing. We'll be out at Toyota of Hollywood this week on the 17th. How about that? So Toyota of Hollywood on Thursday. We will be at Hialeah Park on Friday. So A lot of appearances coming up for us. So speaking of Hollywood, since we were talking about Dandy Donuts in Hollywood, I think Bill and I will probably stop at Dandy Donuts in Hollywood before we go to Toyota of Hollywood, right? That would only make sense that we would do something like that, right? I mean, treat ourselves to a little donut action while we're in Hollywood. So for those of you that want to get a great deal on a vehicle, go to Toyota of Hollywood. All right, we promised you we're going to talk a little hockey, talk a little Panthers, and I know it's been a little frustrating for all of us. Ian Margol, reporter for Channel 10, covering news, and he does cover sports. He covers the Panthers, and he follows them on a daily basis. That's why I was telling Ian, I got to get you on, my man. We don't have a lot of people that talk hockey, so I'm one of the few shows in town that's actually going to talk hockey and love the Panthers. So I got to bring you on. Ian, thank you for joining us, my man.
Absolutely happy to do it, Big O, of course.
It's a beautiful thing. Follow him on Twitter like I and so many others do at Ian Margol, WPLG, and follow him there as always, getting it done. Now, Ian, let me ask you, are you as frustrated as the rest of us? Because, man, I've been dying for them to turn the corner. I root for this ownership group. They spend money. They brought in a great general manager. Now they brought in a Hall of Fame coach. They brought in a hell of a goaltender. I mean, I don't know how much more we can ask, but I want to see this come together finally.
Yeah, Big O, it's been, I think, I look at this from two sides, right? I look at this from a media standpoint, and I look at this from a fan standpoint. The fan inside of me is just screaming at this team saying, what is going on? Is it another slow start? But then you look at it from the more objective side and you look, okay, this team started out 1-2-2 last year as well. But I think if you watched this team right now, if you went back and watched the games last year, the first five games last year and the first five games this year, I think you see a big difference already. Q has this mentality of go, 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 go. He loves a big possession game. We could talk about that more in a little bit. But, you know, am I frustrated? Sure. Am I losing hope already? No, it's five games in, and look at the teams we've played, right? One had a nearly record-breaking season for wins last year, and we got a win off of them, by the way. And Carolina, who, my goodness, looks like they could be one of the best teams in the league by far this year. Who would have guessed that? After their Stanley Cup run, they kind of fell away for a long time. But I think this team has the parts. I think this team has the ability. Look, Alexander Barkov, Jonathan Huberdeau, zero goals so far. Yes, Huberdeau is leading in assists with five assists, but it'll come. You know Barkov is going to turn it on at some point. You know Huberdeau is going to start finding the back of the net at some point. You'd love to see some more production from Trocheck as well. You know, one shorthanded goal, one goal for Trocheck is, I'm sure he was thrilled about that in game one, but I can guarantee if we asked him today, he'd be pretty upset with himself. So, you know, frustration for sure. Losing hope, not yet.
You know, you make me feel better already, and thank you for coming on, dude. I mean, you know, when you put it that way, it is so true because there's a lot that we haven't seen from them, and hopefully, you know, some of the guys that haven't scored, some of the guys that eventually we all know they're going to be putting the puck in the net when it's all said and done. But I think it's, you know, it's, and it's not more, you know, the average guy is going to say, well, same old Panthers. And you're right, they're not the same old Panthers. But I will say this, if they're, I think it's more about just frustration from over the years is what really boils over early on in this season. And I'm with you. It's not you. There's no way you can give up or say it's the same old season. It's only five games in. But I think it's because of all the other years that we've tried to build it up and get ready and say, okay, this is the year, this is the year, and it doesn't happen. That's what I think most people are terrified, that it's happening all over again when it really isn't.
Oh, for sure. And look, we don't have any data sets to say, oh, this isn't what's happening, right? I mean, every single time as a Panthers fan, we have been let down and let down and let down over and over. And I totally get it. And I think that this start, while slow, doesn't feel the same when you look at the quality on the ice. Look, they're playing a New Jersey Devils team right now at 1 o'clock as we speak that doesn't have a win. They're another team that is having a disappointing start. You hate to say that hopefully you get on the right track with a win against a team that doesn't have any wins, but look, you look to get on the right track against a team that doesn't have any wins. You never know what's going to be a spark. One of these games, you know Alexander Barkov's going to go off for two goals and three assists. It's just going to happen. It always does. And when your captain gets going, and when your leadership gets going, it's going to get the rest of the team rolling. I really do have a little more faith than I have the last, what are we at, 26 years now? Mm-hmm. Is that the math? 27?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So, you know, I have more faith this year. Look, I love Lou. I actually was a fan of James Reimer as well. But the goaltending this year, it's not even comparable, right?
Right.
That first game of last season, we are beating the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Lou goes down with an injury. We end up losing that game, and I genuinely believe that set the tone for this season. The goaltending you have right now, Sam Montembeau is young, but obviously we've got Bob back there who is, you know, some of the stats didn't look great, but if you watched his performance on the ice, man, he is really good. So that is solid back there. The defense, two out of three lines, I'd say, are really starting to grasp Q's game plan. Mike Matheson finally looking like the guy we saw 2 years ago, not necessarily last year, turning the corner, it appears. And, you know, I think that there is enough there, enough of a sample on the ice. Don't look at the record yet. The sample on the ice of what you're seeing the guys do. I have hope still, but I got to be honest. I mean, Big O, how surprised would we be if this team was, you know, 2-4-2. I won't be surprised if it's more of the same.
Oh man, I have a problem with that. And by saying that, Jonathan Huberdeau, by the way, is on goal. 1-0 Panthers leading the Devils while we're talking about this. So
there we go.
Hubie dooby doo. I'm sure Goldie was doing that right now as we speak. So it's nice to see they got it. But the thing is, when you look at this team, right? I'll give you an example. I want to ask you this, that I ask everybody this. I want Barkov to be more selfish. What do you think about that?
I 100% agree. How many times is this guy going to go down the ice and pass the puck at the last second, and all of us are going to sit at home or sit in the stands going, why didn't you shoot it? I love that he thinks pass. I love that he looks for the other guys. I know that he hates scoring in empty nets, but I just want to see him start putting the puck in the back of the net, be more selfish, take those shots. He is one of the top 10 players in the entire NHL, let alone on this roster. He needs to be leading by example, burying the puck in the back of the net. When he gets going, like I said before, the rest of the team, I believe, is going to get going as well.
Yeah, and listen, Ian, if he wasn't a great shooter, then that's fine. But damn, he's so skilled that that's why I want him shooting more, because I think he can score a lot more than he does, because he's so selfless. And again, much respect to being selfless and setting everybody up. And it's kind of LeBron-ish, isn't it? That, you know, there are moments where you want LeBron, like, dude, just take over, bro. You know, it's your game. Let's go. I get it. You love to set everybody up. You're fantastic at it. But, man, you can also shoot and score and help the team. It's kind of the same way with Barkov. I want him to be, you know, a little less selfless, please.
I think that's a great example, because I think the way LeBron can just flip a switch and be the guy. I mean, look, when LeBron wants to score, when LeBron wants to take over a game, it's almost like there's no one else on the floor, right? I think that Alexander Barkov, Sasha Barkov, can do the exact same thing. And actually, I just checked to see he and Dadonov getting the assist on Huberto's goal feels very good. And I got to say, there was one chance against the Islanders where Semyon Varlamov just made a phenomenal save. Barkov picked the top corner. Varlamov made an even better save. That's going to happen. But, I mean, no, you're no kidding. If I were to tell you that five games in, we've gone to two shootouts, Alexander Barkov has shot in both shootouts and has zero goals in any of the regulation or shootouts, would you even believe that?
No.
If I had told you?
No.
I mean, I think once he gets a regulation, you know, be it 5-on-5, be it on the power play, which, you know, that's a whole different story. The power play needs to pick it up as well. I think once he gets one in the back of the net, we're going to start seeing old Alexander Barkov. I see people on social media, on Twitter, things like that, saying, you know, is Barkov hurt? What's going on? Barkov's broken. And I don't think he's hurt. I think he's okay. I think that every once in a while, this guy's not a secret anymore. Everyone in the league knows Alexander Barkov is one of the top players in the National Hockey League. They're going to go out. They're going to put their best guy on him. They're going to focus on him, and they're going to try and take him out of the game. But like you said, I think he's good enough. He needs to just put his foot on the pedal, go, stop being so unselfish every once in a while, and put some pucks in the back of the net and lead this team. He's not the vocal leader. Lead this team by example. We hear about it in practice. We see it in practice. We see him, you know, out there before everyone else during warmups. He's got to get the puck in the back of the net. And I just saw the Devils just tied it up 1-1.
Yeah, Taylor Hall got the goal for them and tied it up at 1-1. And that's why when you were saying if they're 2-4-2, would you be surprised? And I get it that the average Panther fan's supposed to say, no, I'm not surprised. I'm going to say, damn, I'm shocked. Because after all of this, with a Hall of Fame coach, a Hall of Fame goaltender, really, and a young team that has got a bunch of really good players offensively that can score, I'm just expecting them to turn the corner. And then I see this Taylor Hall goal, and it's like, yeah, Ian's right. Would you be surprised? And, yeah, you're not supposed to be. But, man, it's just – I guess it's the fan in me that is just desperately rooting for them to turn the corner and figure this thing out and that the light went on. Because, Ian, it's got to get to a point where the ownership group says, what more do we have to do? What more? I mean, and I'm not blaming the fans or anything like that. Unfortunately, the Panthers have not done their job the last 20 years. They haven't figured out how to win on a consistent basis. And you know how it is in this town. If you don't win and entertain, forget about it. You're not going to fill the house up. So until the Panthers do that on a consistent basis, they're not going to fill the house up. But, man, with this talent, you just – I don't want to see them 2-4-2, brother. I want to see them 4-2-2.
I mean, I want to see better than that.
Yeah.
You know, this is a team, and you're absolutely right. They've got all the skills. They've got all the talent up front. They've got the talent in net. They've got to put this all together. And, I mean, look, when they signed all these young guys to long-term deals, they were saying, the young core. I happen to believe they're going to put it all together. Look, it's a brand new coach. Q is legendary and all of that, but he's still a new coach to this team, and it's going to take a minute for his system to click with every single player. So I really do think they're going to turn it around. I think the better word is disappointed if we ended up on that 2-4-2 record, and you know, but. Surprised? I should take it back and say I would be surprised if that happens. I would be very disappointed, and that disappointment doesn't feel new, if it makes sense. Because that disappointment is what we felt. I truly do believe these guys have the ability to do it. I truly believe these guys are the right guys to do it. I'd love to see more production from these guys that we've talked about, the big name guys, the Trocheks, the Barkovs, the Hoobies. Seeing Huberto hit the back of the net is fantastic. I want to see them put it all together. I think they can. And you're right. That arena is never going to be full. When was it full? The last time it was full was when we made the playoffs a couple of years, five, 6 years ago, whatever that was at this point.
Right.
And
but they've never had the buzz that they had in the mid-90s, because that was consistent for a couple of years where they were actually a decent team for 2 years, and that really built it up. That's what they've got to get to. Not that you did just enough to sneak into the playoffs and show up in a playoffs, and obviously we're going to show up. I'm talking about the daily buzz that we had in the mid-90s. I'm talking about when I used to cover practice and I would walk out of the rink in Pompano and there were 200-300 people waiting for autographs at practice. That's what I'm talking about. That's what people don't believe, that went on in the mid-90s. The people that weren't here or too young for it or whatever. That's the kind of buzz I'm talking about. That, Ian, was a ton of fun.
I know it. And I think that, I mean, look, in the off season, it was standing room only in the ice den. This year, this off season, it was standing room only for training camp. I mean, for training camp, that's how much there was. I feel like they're just on the precipice, and they're so close. And I think that if they just go on a run, you're going to start feeling that buzz. Because, I mean, Alexander Barkov is the best athlete in South Florida right now. I'm going to go on record and say that. Okay. Alexander Barkov is the best professional athlete in South Florida right now. And just him alone is going to create interest. But this team going and actually doing what everyone expects them and knows they can do, hopes they can do, is going to make a big draw. And I feel like hopefully, Big O, in a couple of weeks, you and I could be talking, and this is a much different conversation, and we're excited, and we're saying, look at how they picked it up, and look at how they've done this. I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case. I would be more surprised if we are disappointed in 2 weeks.
I'm with you there. I don't know how much you're following the Dolphins, but what'd you think, man? The boys have made progress in 6 weeks and in five games, and I know Washington isn't great, but still, Miami has a fraction of their talent, and they hung in there. What'd you think of the game yesterday?
I loved it, and I loved the final call by Flores to go for it at the end. You know, what do you have to lose? 9 times out of 10, Kenyon Drake makes that catch, And does he get into the end zone for the two-point conversion there? I don't know. There was a missed block, and it looked like he was about to get smothered. But I love it. I love that he pushed for that. I like seeing Mark Walton on the field. That's probably the big Canes fan in me. But he looked good. As long as he can keep his nose out of trouble, that guy is a baller, and he can play. Look, we have promise on this team. Preston Williams can be a guy. We know Devontae Parker can be a guy. I love the move by Flores and that two-point conversion at the end. I was arguing about it with my photographer earlier today. He didn't love it. But you know what? I like to see the grit. Everyone says tank for Tua. I believe it when Flores says he doesn't tank and he wouldn't do that. And I believe it that these players aren't doing that. These guys want to go out there and they want to win. And to see them, you know, they were not playing the top-end talent of the league, that's for sure. But to see them go out and fight and get that close, it felt good. And it felt like there was something, at least to this coaching staff, to be excited about.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'll need another year to see this coaching staff and a year or two to kind of figure out who they really are. But six weeks in, I have to say so far they get a passing grade, maybe a B to A. With the job that they've done with this team, because they're the youngest team, the least experienced, and yet they're making progress every single week, and that's really all you can ask right now. So for that, I would say, hey, that was a fun moment yesterday for the Dolphin, who is trying to see if they actually have a coaching staff for the future. That's the way I would look at it.
And that's and I feel like it's a totally different mindset than our coaching staff. How many coaches do we have that you think would have gone for two? I don't see Gase doing that. I see Gase somehow not ending up managing to even get us in that position. I don't see Gase having done that. I don't see any of the guys that we've had years past. Even, you know, go back to Sperano. He loved kicking field goals. I don't see any of these guys would have done that. I love seeing the tenacity there. I love seeing, hey, you know what? Let's go out and win this game. Forget overtime. Let's go out and get a win. And look, once in a while, someone's going to drop a pass. You'd love to see Kenyon Drake hold on to that and make someone miss, but I liked it. I liked it a lot.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter. Catch his work at WPLG, of course. Ian Margol, WPLG, is the Twitter handle. Ian, thank you for taking some time, man. We really appreciate it here on the show. Excellent work by you.
Big O, always a blast. Good to talk to you, man.
Thank you, my brother. There you go. Ian Margol, good stuff by him, joining us here on the show. And again, it's just one of those where, for me personally, look, I'm a big Dolphins fan. I'm a big Panthers fan. I'm a big Heat fan, Marlins, Canes, you name it. I root for the Owls. I root for the Golden Panthers. I root for all the local teams. But with the Marlins, I don't have the same passion for them because they're not trying. You know, some people say, well, you pick on the Marlins all the time. How come you're not slamming the Dolphins? Well, I slam them for losing in the past, but I don't slam them as an organization because even though I disagree with signing Ndamukong Suh and many other things they've done in the past, they're trying to win. They're spending money. Okay? Marlins don't ever spend money. They don't try. They don't keep anybody around long term. How about the Panthers? They have drafted a core. They have signed their core. They have more young guys coming up, okay? And they went out and signed a Hall of Fame coach, a Hall of Fame goaltender. I mean, how do you not root for that? How do you not respect that? How do you not want that to have success? University of Miami, they finally start spending money. One of the problems that I've told them over the years, when they've gone through the Al Goldens of the world and the Randy Shannons and all that stuff, it's you shortchange yourself. You're settling for the under-the-radar coach, the guy you think is you don't have to pay as much. But in college football nowadays, you want a good coach, you got to pay. You got to pay for your assistants. You got to have the facilities. Well, they've done it all. They got the indoor facility. They've improved their facilities overall. They're paying for their coaches. They're paying for their assistants. Now they're doing the things that other college football teams do. Now they've got a shot. So you root for that. Yeah, I root for the Marlins, but I don't have a lot of hope for the Marlins. I don't expect them to do anything because they don't try. And Derek Jeter sits out there and goes, well, we'd like for attendance to improve. And all, well, how's it going to improve, dude? You do nothing. And I get it. They're in their whole phase of reloading their minors and all that. But I need to know that once you do develop a guy, or two or three or four, are you actually going to sign them to long-term contracts and build a core? None of us know that. None of us can even actually guarantee that. I can guarantee you the Panthers spend. I can guarantee you the Dolphins are going to spend. I can guarantee you the Miami Heat are going to. Hell, the Miami Heat spend on bad contracts. Of course, they're going to spend on good contracts. Everybody else spends. Everybody else tries to win. Everybody else, goes to the extreme, except the Marlins. So for me, it's a passion to want to see the Panthers really succeed because I respect what they're trying to do. I respect that Stephen Ross wants to spend. He'll buy any coach it takes. He'll buy any player it takes. He'll do anything his franchise needs. Oh, we need a new practice facility. Let's do it. We got to improve the stadium. Let's do it. We got to buy this player. Let's do it. We got to buy this coach. Let's do it. The guy never says no to anything. How do you not respect that? I get it. Under Stephen Ross, they haven't been able to put it together. It's been a disaster. I'm the first guy to tell you that. But it's not because they're not trying. They may not know what they were doing in the past. Now I believe they are headed in the right direction. They're doing the right things. But in the past, they made terrible decisions. But it wasn't because of a lack of trying. And that's where the Marlins lose me. And that's where the Panthers gain all my respect. Because I know Viola and Sifu want to win. I see it. You don't bring Quinville here to screw around. And Quinville's not coming here to screw around. And the reason he's here, it's because that guy named Dale Tallon that he knows and has worked with is here. And he doesn't screw around. That's what I like. That's what I respect. So for those of you that wonder, well, man, he's always so supportive of the Panthers. Well, they try. So I'm going to be supportive of the Heat. I'm going to be supportive of the Panthers. I'm going to be supportive of the Dolphins. They're busting their ass. Inter Miami. Let me throw them in there now. I got to start getting used to throwing them in there. They've already signed one young international player. Now they're going to go after two veteran international players, along with probably a hell of a coach. And we had Jorge Mas on our show say that. Hey, some teams may go for that one international player. We're going to use our max, our three. And you see him. He's all over the world with Beckham. Scouting players all over the world. He's going to every big-time league in every country trying to find the player or players to bring to America. That's the owner you want. So, yeah. Hey, we can critique. I love the Panthers, but I can tell you, hey, I'm super disappointed in what's going on with them. Love the Dolphins. I've been very critical of the Dolphins for 20 years, but I still talk about them, still root for them, still want them to win in a big-time way because they care about winning. They're not about tanking. A ridiculous term. That is used. That is only exampled by the Marlins, not the Dolphins, ever. Nothing about the Dolphins will ever resemble tanking. You want to say incompetence in the past? You want to say bad decisions? Whatever you want to do. You want to do that? That's great. It's accurate. Tanking is not accurate. So for those of you that wonder, whoa. Why is he so supportive of the Panthers? That's why. Because they're willing to meet us, the fans, halfway.
just like the Dolphins, just like the Miami Heat. When the Marlins start doing what Wayne Huizenga used to do, then we'll talk. That's all. Pretty simple. One of the guys from New Jersey shot and then kind of tripped and then fell right into the goal. That was kind of funny. I ended up going in there. Bobrovsky had a couple of nice saves there. It reminded me of that scene. I want to say it. Yeah, it is For Your Eyes Only. When he's in that when he's in the hockey rink and he takes out the three guys and he puts them all inside the goal. Kind of reminded me of that scene there where I saw the devil guy fly into the net. That was kind of funny. Still 1-1 while we're watching the Panthers game here and doing the podcast for you. We will have Kelvin Harris. We're gonna talk with Kelvin Harris in a little while, and we'll get his thoughts on the game for the Miami Hurricanes on Saturday, which was a nice win against Virginia. Not the prettiest of wins out there. I get it. But they got back on track. I was really proud of the defensive effort. That was, I think, absolutely fantastic. I know offensively they've got a lot to be desired. Look, N'Kozy Perry's not a good quarterback. He's never going to be a great passer. I'm sorry. I'm just never expecting that from the kid. I know he had a nice week last week and they weren't ready for him and all that good stuff, but he's not the guy. He just isn't. But, hey, they did enough yesterday or Saturday, I'm sorry. Friday, I'm sorry. Actually, it was a Friday night game. They did enough to win the game, and that's all that matters. And I was proud of them for that. Kids fought, did their best. And so we'll talk to Kelvin Harris about that in a little while as the Canes ended up getting it done. Bouncing around the NFL yesterday, the Cincinnati Bengals ended up losing, so they dropped to 0-6. Lamar Jackson and the boys won 23-17. Lamar still mediocre numbers, 21 of 33, 236 yards, no touchdowns. I give him credit, no interceptions at least. But he did rush 19 times for 152 yards and a touchdown. He's a much better running back than he is quarterback. He's a nice kid. He's fantastic, but he can't. He's just not a good passer. I don't think he'll ever. It's kind of like the N'Kozy Perry thing. It's Josh Allen. It's Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill, by the way, came off the bench yesterday. Took a brutal sack in a moment where he should not be taking a sack because he wanted to hold on to the ball. I didn't time it, but it probably got to 4 seconds. Some things never change with the kid. I think he also threw an interception. Let me see. Yeah, he did. He was 13 of 16, which sounds efficient, right? 144 yards, zero touchdowns, one interception. Mariota, 7 of 18, 63 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions. Two Jags. Even though they're Titans, they have two Jags at quarterback. That was a trade that kudos to Chris Greer. How he got a fourth rounder from those fools. Wow, they are pretty stupid there in Tennessee. We've got an athletic, inaccurate quarterback that gets injured. Why don't we trade for another inaccurate quarterback that's athletic and gets injured? What the hell? We'll have two of the same. That's exactly what they have. Two guys that if they look at each other in the mirror, they may not look alike, but they are alike. I mean, they are identical. They are the same guy. And Miami was stupid picking him at 8. What was Mariota? 1, I think, right? Because Winston was 2 because of the knuckleheaded stuff. Is that how it went, right? If I'm correct. Either way, whatever. If I'm wrong, he was 2 or 1, whatever. Stupid decision either way. You cannot take a quarterback that's not accurate that high in the draft. It just makes no sense. And so Tannehill yesterday came in, Titans scored zero in that game, okay? Broncos defeated them 16-0. That's amazing. I love that. Steelers did not help Miami out with that first-round pick. They defeated the Chargers 24-17. Chargers had their share of turnovers and problems and dug themselves in a hole, which that's why they could not win that game. Once they dug themselves in that hole, it was just near impossible to climb out of it. Panthers defeat the aforementioned Jameis Winston and the Bucks 37-26. Jameis didn't play a bad game. It just wasn't good enough to beat the Panthers. That's all. It's amazing how the Panthers have cruised with the Allen kid, right? That's one where you like, nobody saw that one coming. Are you kidding me? Yeah, Cam Newton's injured. Yeah, you got to go with this young kid. What? We're done. We're toast. We're history. We're in the archives. No, actually, you're not. Actually, you guys are going to be just fine. This kid's going to quarterback and lead you, and you're going to keep winning in the absence of Cam Newton. I mean, listen, how about New Orleans? They've been surviving with Teddy and the pop gun arm. It's pretty impressive. But at least with Teddy, he's an experienced quarterback. You know him. Talent-wise, he doesn't have a great skill set, right? I mean, the good Lord did not bless him with incredible talents. But he did bless him with a mind and with some leadership, and Teddy's been able to survive. But the Allen kid, 20 of 32 yesterday, 227 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. And Christian McCaffrey had 22 rushes for 31 yards yesterday. So it wasn't like McCaffrey was tearing it up. He had 4 receptions for 26 and a touchdown. But the Allen kid, amazing. Winston, 400 yards, but 5 interceptions. So that's where, you know, he had a good game yards-wise. He just didn't have a good game with the interceptions. Godwin had 151 yards. He's turned into a heck of a player. And it's nice to be opposite of Mike Evans. That always helps out. But Winston throws for 400 yards. But when you got 5 turnovers, and by the way, losing by 11 points is pretty damn good when your quarterback throws for 5 interceptions. And that's crazy stuff. How about the Seahawks beating the Brownies 32-28? As the Browns took a lead late in that game, and then the Seahawks were able to come back and win. But that's impressive. Seahawks are now 5-1. Brownies dropped to 2-4. This is one of those games where you're kind of torn, right? Because there will be people that will be picking on the Browns, saying they're overrated. And yeah, to a certain extent, you have to say, okay, they were overrated. But that was a good performance by them yesterday. Seattle's not a bad team. Mayfield wasn't great, but Mayfield hasn't been great all year. And this is why I always tell people, give me the second year for a starter, and then I'll tell you who I really think they are. I can have an opinion on somebody, but give me the second year. And Baker Mayfield set rookie records last year, and he was fantastic. This year, 5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. That's why you've got to see who they – wait for 2 years. Why? Because the first year they might freak you out and they might be awesome, but then they get tape on you and then they figure you out. RG3 was a monster his first year. And then what happened? He forgot how to be a monster. And Haloti Ngata broke him in half and it was over. That's what I'm afraid that's going to happen to Lamar Jackson eventually. I mean, he's beating you more with his legs than with his arm. And that combination, if it doesn't fly for Cam Newton or Tim Tebow or RG3, why is it going to work for Lamar Jackson? Hell, Andrew Luck is not a running quarterback, and they broke his ass down. So Lamar Jackson's not going to be able to take a lot of hits. I guess Beckham won't complain. He got some balls thrown to him yesterday. Had 141 yards, so he won't have to complain. What else happened yet? How about the Niners? They are now 5-0, 3-0 on the road. The Rams have lost 3 in a row now. They're 3-3 after starting off 3-0. Jared Goff. We talk about Jameis Winston. We talk about Baker Mayfield. Now we talk about Jared Goff. He's struggling too. No Todd Gurley. Well, the Brown guy only had 11 rushes for 40 yards because they were behind. Henderson, I know, had a big fumble, was 6 for 39. I mean, Higbee was their number one wide receiver yesterday, 3 for 26. Or 25, I'm sorry. But Goff is the kind of guy that needs everything around him to be perfect. He's not going to elevate people around him. That's not who he is. So far, he's proven that he's a good facilitator. He has his moments, man, where he slings it and it looks great. But there are moments where he can't do anything. And yesterday was a moment where you were facing a good defense. You had to get it done and you couldn't. And you lose 20-7. Garoppolo wasn't great either. He threw an interception, no touchdowns. 243 yards, 24 of 33. Tevin Coleman was your leading rusher with 45 yards. Kittle was fantastic with 100 yards. But again, they didn't light up the world. Now, they didn't have to because they kept that Rams offense in check. That San Fran defense is for real, ladies and gentlemen. Bosa and the boys can bring it, man. That's a heck of a team. And I know Richard Sherman's running his mouth. And, yeah, all you guys out there, you wanted to talk crap about us. Keep talking crap about us. We know who you are. I love it. Richard Sherman trying to let people have it.
You don't worry about it. You want idiots to sound like idiots, but you want them to hold their position the whole year. Like, don't flip-flop with us. Like, if you said we weren't going to make it, you said we were some way early on, just stick with that position. Hold it. Don't try to give us credit now. Don't try to give us credit now. Just stick. If you had us ranked 25, keep us ranked 25. If you had us going home early, if you had us going 3-3 and whatever, have us going 3-3 and whatever. You know what I mean? At least stick by your word, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end.
I love him, man. Dee Ford's on that team. DeForest Buckner. What's it called? Nick Bosa. Right, they got some players. Richard Sherman on that team. They got some guys, man. They got some dogs on that team. I mean, you got to like that. You got to like that, the structure of that team. And then offensively, that's where I would say they're not explosive. But if you can run the ball with Breed and the boys and Tevin Coleman, and you can, and obviously Kittle's an exceptional tight end. At wide receiver, they're not special. That's one of those teams that could use Albert Wilson. Bringing it back to Miami, that's one of those teams that could they could be interested in Albert Wilson or Devontae Parker. I mean, they could use him. Marquise Goodwin's a nice little receiver. But when we start talking about Dante Pettis, and I mean, come on, man, this is not the kind of receiving core that's going to scare the crap out of you. That's the one thing that I would give Jimmy G, is better wide receivers. And the good thing about those two guys that I mentioned, they can just rent them because their contracts expire. Well, Albert's got another year left, I think, on his deal, if I'm correct. Well, another year that you, but they can get out of it. They didn't pay the bonus anyway, so it doesn't matter. It would be affordable for them to make that move. That would be a team that by the end of this month, which is in 2 weeks, where the trading deadline shows up, you should be searching for a wide receiver. That's the one. I mean, listen, you're 5-0. You're the real deal, man. You're the real deal. Get a little bit more offense in there, and you'll be all right. Then again, the tuna's driving around or hanging out in Saratoga going, well, we won with Phil McConkey. So you never know. Mark Bavaro and Phil McConkey and Ingram. So it wasn't like those receivers were great. Now, it was a different style of football back then, okay? That was 3 yards in a cloud of dust type football then. Not the kind of football we've got now that it's a freaking track meet. Although defenses are stepping up right now and getting it done, I will say that. That's been pretty impressive. So nice job by the Niners. The Texans, they beat the Chiefs. How impressive was that? I mean, the Texans have had their issues on their O-line. Watson has been playing his ass off. I mean, that kid's an absolute stud. You got a matchup of Watson and Holmes in that game. Are you kidding me? That's awesome right there. Mahomes, 19 of 35, 273 yards, 3 touchdowns, an interception. Watson went 30 of 42, 280 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. Also had 10 rushes for 42 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kid is absolutely amazing. And the Texans, that one doesn't help Miami either, by the way, because they improved to 4-2. And as you all know, Miami owns their first and their second round pick. So you would like for them to struggle a little bit there, but they did not struggle against the Chiefs. And they end up beating the Chiefs. Impressive. Vikings, Kirk Cousins wakes up, throws 4 touchdowns, 333 yards, 38-20 win. Eagles end up losing that game. Impressive win for the Vikings considering all the crap that they had gone through the last couple of weeks, and including Kirk Cousins, who's apologizing to everybody for his play. And I give him credit, because at least he stand up. It's like in Rosen's press conference this week or yesterday, he immediately said, hey, I understood. I can't disagree with the decision. Flo's job is to win games, and I wasn't helping him. Kind of paraphrasing. But I love the fact that he realized I was playing like crap. He had to do something. And he goes, well, look at what happened at the end of the game. We had a chance. So obviously it was the right decision. He even said that. You got to love that. And when Kirk Cousins is out there apologizing and pointing out that, hey, yeah, man, I'm at fault here. I got to play better. Well, Stephon Diggs, I don't know if any trade requests are coming, but he had 3 touchdowns and 167 yards yesterday. So I guess no trade requests. The Saints, once again, don't need a lot of points to win. They can't score a lot of points with Teddy. 13-6 win over the Jags. The good thing is you're playing the Jags. So they couldn't come up with a lot of points, only 6 of them. New Orleans now 5-1. They are cruising without Breeze. By the time they get him back, I mean, the kid Allen is helping the Panthers stay alive while Cam is out. I don't even know if you bring back Cam. That's a whole different ballgame there. But the Saints are definitely going to bring back Breeze. But Teddy and the boys are keeping the ship afloat, so they're getting it done. The Steelers route the Chargers. We talked a little bit about that. What else went on yesterday? Oh, we got the Lions and the Packers tonight. Lions are 2-1-1, and the Packers are 4-1, 8:15 tonight for that one on ESPN. I'm going with the Packers in this one. Wow, right? I'm really going out on a limb, that one. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at home against the Lions. Damn, boy, I really take chances in this world, don't I? Holy moly. So that's some of the stuff that went on yesterday. I am, they are in the intermission. I think it's still 1-1 Panthers. 2-1? 2-1 Jersey Devils? Oh, okay. Oh, wow, that sucks ass. Yeah, Devils are up 2-1. The frustrations of the Panthers continue. Man, I need something better, please. Defense. Turn it around. Yeah. Defense. Yeah, well, that's the one thing you could question is the defense in front of the goaltender. That's one that's questionable. The Heat will be back in action tonight. The 2-0 Miami Heat will take on the Hawks. So we'll check that out. So I'll be watching. I guess that's the good thing that we're watching Panthers now this afternoon. Hopefully they can win. I hate the nights that I've got the Panthers and the Heat playing at the same time. It just bugs the crap out of me. And then tonight we've also got Monday Night Football. So it's Monday Night Football, it's hockey, it's basketball, it's all going on at the same time. Oh, and let's not forget that we've also got baseball tonight too, because the Nationals are leading 2-0 against the Cards. And tonight is game 3 on TBS. Jack Flaherty taking on Steven Strasburg. And so that's what's going on tonight in baseball. Astros, by the way, tied up their series with the Yankees after winning 3-2 in 11 innings last night. So that's what went on with the baseball teams. How about that? All right, if you want to get in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, it's 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105 if you want to get in on the program. Many ways to reach out to us. Also on Twitter is another way that you can reach out to us at Big O Show. Instagram, Big O Radio Show. And of course, follow the podcast just in case you just clicked onto it at Big O Radio Show. You can find it all over the place. And we do want to remind you that the show is brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank, baby. We love talking about Michael Codsey. Listen, if you're buying a home, you want to refinance, you want to, let's say, debt consolidation, get all those credit cards off the, I mean, listen, when you consolidate all your bills, you got some equity in your home, you pay off all those credit cards, you lower your monthly payment drastically, saving you a lot of money. And we can get you into a fixed mortgage rate under 4%. How about that, folks? 561-441-2730. Call Michael Codsey, the owner himself. 561-441-2730. Rates and terms subject to change. Daily without notice. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-254. It's Choice Mortgage Bank.